or tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Christ, Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, July the 7th, 1991. Final service of the July week family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter is the speaker of the morning.
Well, I appreciate all that the Lord has done this week and all the words of the Lord that have come forth and all the ministry. And I believe that in the days to come there will be yet blessings to many that will come from what has transpired here this week. Through the tapes to you and through the tapes to others and through that which is transcribed out of the off of the tapes and put into the paper. And it's a blessing to have all of you and to have Linda to be with us and to take care of the praise and worship. That's a chore in itself. And the problem is I never get tired of her singing. But she can't, unless the Lord gives her a silver throat. She can't keep it up forever, you know. But he has given her a pretty good silver throat because she does a very good job. Amen. Linda comes this morning to minister the word of the Lord again to us. We're still not through learning yet from this camp meeting.
You know, all week long we have been hearing about the kingdom, and we've been hearing about the new day. And we've been singing about the kingdom. We've been singing about the new day. And for some, when they come to camp, it's the first time that they've heard about the kingdom, and it's the first time in some cases where people have heard, well, that this is a new day. You know, there's two distinct groups that come to camp every time we have a meeting like this. There are those that come with desperate needs and are hungry for God and are hungry for change. They come because they want to change. And I came, and I still come, because I want to change. And then there are also those that come that are hungry for more of God. Now, when we're hungry for more of God, we know that that necessitates a change. But I hope you understand what I'm saying, that usually these two groups are distinct. And sometimes people have had such horrendous problems in their life that there hasn't been hope really that things can change, but they come and hear that things don't have to remain the same. Praise the Lord. And I'm glad this morning that we have that confidence, that assurance, that things don't have to stay the same. They can change. And the first step is when we acknowledge that we've got a need and that we can't change it ourselves, that God is the only one that can change our problems. Praise the Lord. Now, I was thinking this morning that when we talk about the kingdom and what the kingdom really means, now we've quoted that verse before that says the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. But I would like to say something else this morning that I believe the kingdom of God is. And the kingdom of God, in my opinion and the way I see it in the Scripture, is a return to normalcy. It's a return to normalcy. It's a return to the way that God intended for our lives to be. And when Jesus came, and when He was crucified, and when the veil was rent, and we could with boldness go into the Holy of Holies for ourselves, and did not have to depend upon a high priest, because at that point it was open and we could all be priests, there was a change that took place upon planet Earth. Things would never be the same again. It was changed for all eternity. It was the ushering in of a whole new era. And as I said, it was that each one of us individually could come to God for ourselves through Jesus Christ. The Scripture says that He is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So that became the beginning of a new era. And I want to just go over a couple of points this morning. I'm not going to talk a long time. In fact, the whole side of one side of the tape, I think, can probably be devoted to music this morning. But it's just a short message to just really kind of recap and put it in terms that I hope all of us can understand today, what the kingdom means and what the new day means. So the ushering in of the kingdom, that beginning of that new era when Jesus died, was the return to normalcy. And we've been singing about the fact that we are a chosen generation that has been preached from the pulpit, that we are a new generation in Christ Jesus. And with that thought in mind, I want you to look at Matthew chapter 1 this morning. Why do we say things like this? Why do we say that we are a new generation or we're the last generation? And you know, I especially want you young people to hear what I'm saying this morning, because this is for you. I don't believe that we have to look with dread to the days that are ahead. If we are children of the kingdom, children of the day, the days before us are good days. Now, we're going to have troubles. I mean, life has its problems. But when we come to Jesus and we begin to embrace everything that He has for us, things ahead can look bright because we look forward to a new day, which we'll talk about. But first of all, I want to mention and just go over this fact about us being part of a new generation. Now, Matthew chapter 1 is the account of the birth of Jesus, but before His birth, it gives His genealogy from the time of Abraham. And it says, it talks about the record of His genealogy from Abraham to David as being 14 generations. And it's all given here. You know, in previous years and in other cultures, generations have meant a lot more to people than they have to most of us. What a person's background was very important. You know, a couple of years ago, I was in Sweden, and I stayed in the home of a man who was from Jordan. And he was a Pentecostal Baptist minister on the staff of a Lutheran church. And he was a Jordanian living in Sweden. Figure that out if you can. His name was Moses. His name is Moses. He's still living. He's still there. And he can trace his spiritual roots back to before the crucifixion. And his ancestors became Christians before the crucifixion. They believed in Jesus before the crucifixion. And he's very proud of that fact, that he can trace his roots back that far. I don't know of anybody else who has been able to trace their roots back that far, except maybe one man that I met over in India who could trace his roots back to the time of the Apostle Thomas. And when Thomas came to India preaching the gospel, his ancestors became Christians. So that was about the same period of time, just maybe 100 years difference. Maybe not even quite that much difference. But most of us can't do that, and we think it's tremendous when we can trace our roots back maybe to the 1700s. But in many other cultures, they can trace their roots way back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And so we have the account of the genealogy of Jesus from the time of Abraham here in Matthew. And it talks about from Abraham to David was 14 generations. And that then it gives the genealogy of David up to the time that Israel went into captivity. And that was 14 generations. And then it talks about the time of the exile to Babylon, into Babylon, to the time of the birth of Jesus as 14 generations. But if you will look at that closely, and if you will count it up, you will find that it is not really 14 generations, but it's 13 generations. Now, something is wrong here, if we're going to look at it strictly in the natural, that there isn't a mistake. There is 14 generations. Now, it was explained to me when I was in Bible school that the reason that there's only 13 generations mentioned is because one king was so wicked that he could not be included in the genealogy. And the fact is that there was more than one. I think there were three kings. But we begin to see something, because I'd like you girls to sit down, please. And you're disturbing me, okay? All right, just be real quiet. You're good girls, but you got to sit still for me. Now, when Jesus came, we've already established that it was the ushering in of a new era and a new generation. Things would never be the same as they were before, and things would no longer be counted after the regular bloodline, but after the spiritual bloodline. Because God said to Abraham that in him all the families of the earth would be blessed. Well, that just didn't mean his direct descendants. Everybody who would be a child of faith would be blessed in Abraham. Amen. Now, from the exile into Babylon to Jesus, it was 13 generations that are listed here. But when we consider the fact that in Jesus Christ we are a new generation, we find that we are the next generation. So from the time of Jesus' birth, and his crucifixion and his resurrection, all who believe in him become a new creation and are of his generation. We find that we become that 14th generation. Right?
Amen.
And it's a new bloodline. It's a new era. It is a new kingdom. It is not like all former kingdoms. The spiritual kingdom is really the true kingdom. We are to be, we are children of the light. Now, I want us to turn over to Colossians. And Colossians really speaks so much of our inheritance that we have in Jesus. And it says of Jesus in chapter 1, first of all, we give thanks to the Father, verse 12, who has qualified us, or qualified you. Some translators say that it means says us there, that Paul included himself in that, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Now, the first time I spoke here, I talked about the fact that we are children of light. And we're not children of light in the sense that the New Agers talk about it. We're children of the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. The true light is Jesus. And he's qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of God, for he's rescued us out of the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and whom we have the forgiveness of sins. And it says that he is the image of the invisible God. Tell you what, I want you to go back there and sit with your mommy, okay? All right. It says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Everything on the earth holds together in Christ Jesus. That's why I say that in the kingdom, things return to normalcy.
Yes, amen.
And he is the head of the body. We've been singing about the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he, Jesus, might have the preeminence, that he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him. We pray sometimes, Lord, I want to see you in all your fullness. We can see everything that God is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, the scripture tells us, John 3:16, we all know that, and all of you children should know it. All of you young people should know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but will have everlasting life. That's a promise of God to us. That is a gospel in a nutshell. But I want to tell you something. Jesus is not the only Son of God. There will never be another Jesus. There will only be one Jesus. There's only one sacrifice for sins. And he is the head of his body. But that really says there in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his first begotten Son. And the scripture tells us that he is the firstborn of many brethren. And there's a song we used to sing, and in some churches we still sing it, that Jesus Christ the Lord opened up the way to glory. Through His death and His resurrection, He opened up the way for us that we could share in the inheritance that God gave Jesus. Do you hear me? This is not false doctrine. This is the message of the kingdom. Jesus opened up the way that we could know what it is to be filled with the fullness of God ourselves. He forgave us our sins, took us out of one kingdom, and placed us in another. And there's a scripture that I read before in Hebrews. It says, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. They're of the same kinship. And Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. So we find that we are the generation. A new generation began on the day that Jesus was crucified. Now there could be discussion on this, whether it began on the day of crucifixion or whether it began on the day of Pentecost. But we know that new beginning, that new era started the moment that the sacrifice was complete, the perfect sacrifice was made. Now, I don't worship any person, and I don't intend to ever worship any person. I worship Jesus. He's the only one that I worship. He is the head of the body. And we've been singing, we sang this morning about Zion. We sang this morning about Jerusalem. And in essence, what we were doing, we were singing about the body of Christ and the bride of Christ. Weren't we? I have been to Jerusalem. And I'll tell you what, it was a good experience to go to Jerusalem. And it was a good experience to walk in the old city. But it did not give me the rejoicing that I have when I see somebody who has been transformed by the blood of Jesus and has been come into the family of God and has been joined to the body of Christ. That city that they have come into, to me, is far more glorious than a physical city.
Amen.
So we have become that, we are that generation of the end time. Now, it says in Psalm 89, you don't need to turn to it, but you can look at it later if you like. Psalm 89, verses 35 and 36, it talks about the fact that the line of David would continue forever. It would never end. And so we know that is a spiritual line that is being prophesied there. John 1, let's look at John 1. And it says, regarding Jesus, He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world didn't recognize Him. And I want to tell you something this morning. There are people that don't recognize you. They don't recognize the life of Christ in you. They don't see what is going on. They are blind to the light that is in you. The world didn't recognize Him, and the world doesn't recognize many of us. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God or the sons of God. He gave the right to become the sons of God's children. Now listen to this. Born not of natural descent, not of human decision. You know, you hear people talking about, well, we've decided that now we're going to have a family. It didn't come about that way. Nor of a husband's will, but born of God. All who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. You have been given the right to become a full, mature child or son of God. Not according to human ways, but according to the ways of the Spirit of God and the way of the kingdom. And that Word became flesh, made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We have been joined together with Him, and we share in everything that Jesus made available to us. We can if we will receive it. We're of that generation. 1 Peter 2, 8 and 9, we sing it. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Let's turn to it and read it. You know, I like it when people tell me things, but I like it when I can see it right in front of my eyes. I like it when I can read it myself. 1 Peter 2, and this is not taken out of context. If you study it, it is very much in context. 2 verses 8 and 9, he says, Peter is saying, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light, or his marvelous light. And he says, once you were not a people. Now, this is what we talked about last Sunday. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And that is taken from the book of Hosea, where Hosea said, once you were not a people, but now you are the people. And because we are in Christ Jesus, we're this new generation, he says, I urge you then, as aliens and strangers in this world, to abstain from sinful desires. We have a choice that we can make. We don't have to sin anymore. We don't have to have this mentality that I am going to sin today. Many of us have grown up with that kind of mentality. We've been taught that we're bound to sin. We're going to have to sin. And so you just might as well figure on the fact that you're going to sin. I don't receive that, because there is a seed of righteousness dwelling within me. There is a life in me that doesn't want to sin, and I don't have to sin. I don't have to give in to temptation. Temptation is one thing, and I want you young people to hear me. You get an idea that you're going to sin, and this is for all of us. This idea comes in your mind as sin. I'll tell you what, you can say no to it, because the thought has been there doesn't mean you've done it. And that's where the devil tries to trip people up, say, well, I thought it, I might as well do it. That is the devil's trick to get you into sin, so that you will bring curses upon yourself and on your life and on your children. I'll tell you what, I would like to think that if I had heard some of this teaching when I was a young person, I would have spared myself a whole lot of grief.
Amen. Right.
You don't have to sin. Praise the Lord. He's made provision for us if we do sin. But we don't have to. And I can say, by the grace of God, only by the grace and the mercy of God, and the fact that he's been so good to me, that I don't sin in the ways that I used to sin. Things have changed. Can't you say that too? Things have changed. He has made you a new creation. Your desires are different than they used to be. Okay, now, the other thing I want to mention about this morning. So we've established that. That's taken care of. I hope you all have it. In your mind and in your spirit, that we are a holy generation. Jesus Christ was the firstborn, and he opened up the way that we could be born into the kingdom, not by natural ways. And I'll tell you, if we try to get in any other way, what does the scripture say, those that try to come in another way? Thief and a robber. There's only one way that we can get in, and that is to be born of God. And it really means born from above. Now, we've also been singing about a new day. This is a new day. And one of the songs we sang this week was that song from Hosea. I'd like us to turn there. Chapter 6, after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he'll raise us up after 2 days. It doesn't say this, as such, death's hold is broken. But after 2 days, we'll live with him. On the third day, we'll live with him. Then shall we know if we follow on to know. It says in here, let us acknowledge the Lord, and let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. I mean, that's a pretty good promise. And I want to tell you something. Every promise that he has given us in the scripture will come to pass. We can decide whether to be part of it. But as surely as the sun comes up, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the latter rain, like the spring rains that water the earth. Now, when we begin talking about days, we are talking about eras. We think of days because we live on earth and we're confined to the time as we know it here on earth. But when you get into the realm of the kingdom, we don't know time any longer. But really, and it says of the scripture, doesn't Peter say it, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years? And 1,000 years is like one day in His sight. And that gives us a key and a clue as we begin to look at the scripture and get understanding in the scripture, that when God speaks of a day, He could be speaking of 1,000 years. And when He speaks of 1,000 years, He's talking of a day. And we know that the earth was created in 6 days. And whether it was 6 days or 6,000 years, I don't believe it really matters. Whether it was 24-hour days, I don't think it matters. We just know that God did it. And we have a promise here concerning a third day. Now, if we go into the scripture and we look at the time from the crucifixion of Jesus till the present day, we have lived 2 days, or the earth has continued for 2 days. Now hear me, because this is what we've been singing about. We're almost at the year 2000. Now, thanks to the mix-up in our calendars, we'll never know exact days about anything, but we'll know exact seasons. And there have been people that have thought they knew exact days and have written books about things and have had egg all over their face and then have tried to wiggle their way out of it. But we know that we are living in a season of change where we are going to see a new era come in. I personally believe that I am going to see it come. I believe I'm going to see God's day come. So if we've been living 2 days and we've been living in a period, and I'm talking about mankind from the time of Jesus till now, after these 2,000 years, He's going to revive us. And on the third day, He will restore us that we may live in His presence. Isn't that what the scripture is talking about when it's talking about the millennial reign with Christ? I feel that it is. And I'll tell you what is the millennial reign but normalcy as God intended it back at the time of Adam? And God has brought it about through Jesus Christ, His Son. He reversed the curse that has been on the earth through His Son, through the death and resurrection of His Son, and He has now given us the privilege of doing the work and continuing the work of Jesus until that day comes. That is why we can look forward and say things ahead look good.
Amen.
We don't have to be fearful because of the new day that's before us. It's going to be a good time. Through much tribulation, we come to that time. But I'll tell you what, I have confidence in God that He will keep us.
Amen.
And you young people can be part of it. You can take part in this. You can look forward to it. As sure as the promises of God are yea and amen, it's going to be. And if you want it, it's yours. I think that's exciting.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, one of the things that used to trouble me, and it still does, because sometimes people get together and all they talk about is the things that are coming in a good sense, when the great revival comes or when there's a great ingathering and all this and how God is going to use us then. Well, about 20 years ago, I used to minister to young people that had been saved off the streets back in Minneapolis that had come out of drugs and, you know, during that time. And we came in and hundreds of kids were getting saved and filled with the Spirit. I mean, literally hundreds in the city of Minneapolis. I wasn't touching the lives of all of them, but there were those that God gave to me to minister to and to nurture up in the things of the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I cried with them and their problems and the things that they had to go through and wanted to help them along. And some of them, just like now, came through all kinds of difficulty. Broken homes and dysfunctional families to the max. And I would bring them into the adult meetings because we wanted everybody together. And the adults would sit there and talk about when there is a great move of God and how God was going to use them. And here's some of these young people that were hurting so desperately and not getting their needs met. And I was, you know, I was wanting to help them as much as I could, but I felt, you know, others needed to get involved in what God was doing. They weren't even really paying any attention to what was happening, just kept looking out here in the future. And I think that is something that would be easy for us to get into, just keep looking out in the future and not take care of the needs that God puts right in front of us. We are the ones that God wants to use to usher in the kingdom in its fullness. And it is not a thing where we just rest and wait for Him to do it, but we're to occupy till He comes. Really do the work that Jesus did until He comes. And that is still the way I feel, that we not just have our mind just concentrate on what may happen down here, but to take care of what is happening here. And that's what deliverance is all about. That's what I trust that has been going on all week long, is getting people restored to a sense of normalcy, to be part of this great body and people of God, and to be available to Him and to usher in the new day that we've been singing about. This is what it's all about. This is what the new day is that we sing about. We look forward to it in its fullness, but we enter into it right now. This is what the new generation is all about. Jesus Christ opened up the firstborn of many brethren, and that we could be born of God and enter in to His inheritance. Now that should be enough to make us shout. That should be enough to get us to go home with determination that we're going to let the life of God flow through us. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what I want to encourage you with this morning, that when you go out the door, when you get in your car, when you hit the highway, that it will be with the song that this is indeed a new day, that we are a new generation, that we are a royal priesthood, that we are showing forth the praises of God on this earth, that we will go to our localities, to our churches, to the places that God has set us, on your job or whatever, and that we will be Him in the workplace and in the places where you occupy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People are crying out, and you can be the touch of Jesus to them.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Let's stand and lift our hands and say, Lord, do it through me. Do it through me, Lord. Do it through me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Do it through us, Lord. Hallelujah. Lay aside your own ambition this morning. Lay aside your own ambition and be infused with the ambition, the purpose of God this morning. Be infused with the purposes of God. Lay aside all of your big ideas. You know, Rod, when he was talking last night about in Ezra, about when they were rebuilding, and my mind got going, and I was thinking about when they were building the wall and how everybody went out in companies and they were building the wall. And I thought, wouldn't it have been something if one man, and there was women that were building the walls too, but if one man or one woman thought, well, I'm going to build my wall higher than anybody else's, or I'm going to have my part of the wall is going to be greater than their part of the wall, it would have been a funny looking wall. And so we lay aside our own ambitions and our own fleshly desires. Hallelujah. And we become infused with the purpose of God. And I'll tell you, when we work together and build the house of God and the city of God, the dwelling places of the Lord, I'll tell you, it is a thing of beauty. Hallelujah. Father, you see the hearts of your people here. You see how many have been bogged down because of the cares of life and the problems in their home. And I pray, God, with what has been imparted this week and the truth and the deliverance that has been imparted this week, that as each one goes to their own home, they will go in the power of the Spirit of God and with truth and life that will change their families to normalcy, change their lives to what is your will and what is your desire, and that they will be your people, children of the light. Hallelujah. In the midst of darkness, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. With our lips, people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Hear us, O Spirit of darkness, so you will know where we stand. We are His children, purchased with scars, bought by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. From the dark and delivered from shame, one holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Once more, hear us. Hear us, O Spirit of darkness, O you. Blood of the Lamb. We're the people of God, called by His name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son.
Praise you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for it to go with us as we travel. We thank you for your blessings, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name. There will be no meal served here this evening. There will be a meal ready now. The building will be open this evening to anybody who wants to pray. On Sunday night, we always have prayer meeting here. But I don't know how many of us will feel like being here tonight after all these days. But the building will be open to anybody who will be here and who does wants to pray. We generally come around 7 o'clock and pray till 8, 8.30, 9 o'clock, something like that. So if anybody's here and they want to come in and pray, why, you're welcome. We appreciate it because we need to pray for the nation, pray for the ministries, pray for those that we know that's serving in other places, hold them up before the Lord and be intercessors in behalf of the nation and of the body of Christ and of those who are serving in the mission field and those who are imprisoned in areas of the world for the gospel's sake.
You know, we have such a nice thing here, but there are areas of the world where there are those who are in prison today just because they named the name of Jesus. There are those who are suffering and will die, possibly today, because they named the name of Jesus. It isn't something that isn't going on every day. It is going on. And they need our prayers to uphold them as we come before the Lord. Father, we thank you for the food that's prepared for us today. Make it health for us, that we will rejoice in thee. Bless those who prepared it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For the Lord would say, many of you consider yourselves to be as Gideon, a small man in a small tribe. You consider yourself as nothing, incapable of meeting the call of God, and yet God calls you a mighty man, a mighty man, a mighty woman of deliverance. Gideon's response was, tear down the altar of his father. And so you have torn down those generational things, those altars of your fathers where they have worshipped false gods. And you have come forth in a new boldness. And the Lord is calling you to take that lamp and that pitcher and to break it with a mighty sound of rejoicing and let God do the work and manifest his work and his way in a triumphant way and to bring peace into the land.
The year of Jubilee, God is building a Zion wall. God is setting the people free. God is building a Zion wall.
End of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.